Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Medium Insights Hour, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation and Signs of Life Radio. Every month we gather here to explore the mindsets of many, many accomplished spiritual mediums on many topics related to the study of consciousness, afterlife, and spirituality. My name is Roman Karpyshka. I'm in my music studio right now. I had the privilege of conversing with a very, very gifted medium, Dina Simone, somebody we haven't spoken to in about a year. She is a certified medium with the Forever Family Foundation. I'm just going to say triple F from now on. With triple F.
That's fantastic. Good.
Yeah, she's a medium with triple F, and she's felt the presence of spirit since the age of 11, and she's been practicing for the last 15 years. As is often the case, she dismissed her abilities due to fear and inability to process what was happening, but after significant study, mentorship, she embraced her ability, blossomed into the medium that she is today. In addition to connecting spirit messages, she also teaches her client how to connect on their own with their loved ones. She's the author of Whispers of Love, Spirit Messages from Heartbreak to Hope, and her website is www.ginasimonemedium.com. Our show tonight, as always, is commercial free, no interruptions. Sit back, relax, and let us stimulate your intellect and imagination for the next hour or so. And by the way, Gina Simone is not going to be doing any readings tonight, as is typical with my show. Today's show is for informational purposes and exploration of medium mindsets and all that kind of stuff. So your questions are very, very welcome. And if you do have any questions for our esteemed guest, please call 1-888-627-6008. And with all that said, Gina, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too. 2025 already. My God. It just keeps going, right?
It just time as we get older, time unfortunately flies.
It goes faster, yeah.
Yeah, it really does.
Like that old Stephen Miller song, time keeps on slipping into the future.
Right? Slipping away into the future, exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been about a year since you and I have spoken. What's new in the last year? Busy?
I've been very busy with clients. I've been toying with maybe writing a second book. I'm not sure about that. For those of you who don't know, my first book that I wrote in 2020 was after my son's passing. And actually, today's an anniversary. Today is the sixth anniversary of his burial. So I've been toying this past year with maybe writing another book about mediumship, but I wrote the first book with Anthony. He was a spiritual guide for me, and we wrote the book together. So I am hoping Anthony, he was 27 when he crossed over from leukemia. So I'm hoping that I can talk to him and see if he wants to write a second book with me. I don't know. I'll have to see, but, Life has been really good. Thank you for asking.
Good, good. I'm so glad that you're, that it has been good. And I mean, go for it. I say go for it. Do your second book. Do not hesitate. Go for it.
That's fun.
More books on this subject, the better.
Yeah, I agree. I think the more that people understand what it is, what mediumship is, what survival of the soul and consciousness is, rather than what they may think it is from what they've seen on TV. I think the more that we understand it, I think that will bring us to lesser people being afraid of crossing over.
Yeah.
There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear.
I think the way that we're designed, like physically, I mean, our brains are a reducing valve mechanism that is meant to pick up only a certain amount of information. And we are being fooled. This whole thing is an illusion, pretty much, you know, and that's what quantum physics is like over and over proving it, you know? So, yeah.
And not only the quantum physics part, but just the messages that spirit shares in a reading, you know, they'll kind of look at things from a higher perspective and look at their life and the events and the experiences that they had. And there's a higher awareness of, oh, so that's what I was supposed to learn in this life, or so that's the role that this particular person was supposed to play for me. So they tend to look at it from a perspective that we can't see while we're still in our bodies, but that we have a much higher perspective once we cross over.
Right. That's fascinating. And, you know, it would be so cool to be able to just, you know, cross over to the other side, talk to your spirits, loved ones, and come back. You know, maybe, you know, there's some people that are working on, like, I think George Schwartz is working on a soul phone or something like that. And
oh, wow, that would be wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's crazy. I mean, the amount of information that is just in the ether, it just, I don't know. I don't know how you guys do it. Like, do you find that some clients are easier to read than others?
1,000%. And it has nothing to do with how strong their desire is to be read. It has nothing to do with the spirit's, let's say, personality that they were when they were on Earth. It's what I call an electrical connection, where we have the medium, like a triangle. We have the medium, we have the sitter, and then we have spirit. And all three of us have to make an electrical current with one another.
Yeah.
Some people, it's easier to do that. And with some people, it's a lot harder. Now, I've definitely found that for those coming into a reading with certain expectations, I expect my loved one that's crossed over to say X, Y, Z, or I expect them to know what I'm holding in my pocket. When we have these type of finite references, it becomes a lot more difficult for that person just to be open to receive whatever the messages are from spirit. Because again, spirit wants to give that overall umbrella look at life, and to apologize perhaps for things that they didn't do correctly, or to bring forth something that sitter is going through and trying to help them deal with whatever the issue is that they have in this particular life. So when you come in only wanting to hear certain words or only wanting to be told what it is that you have in your pocket, you're actually energetically closing yourself up. And now that triangle that I said the electrical current has to go through all three, now it becomes even more difficult for the medium to kind of connect with spirit to say, okay, talk to me. What do you want? What do you want to say? And spirit will speak, but now the sitter becomes the issue because they're more closed off.
Right. So is there something that a sitter can do to enhance their reading with a medium?
Honestly, for them just to come to a reading with the most light of heart and spirit and a smile on their heart, knowing that they're going to be connecting with their loved ones, and an openness to allow whatever it is that spirit wants to talk about, allow that spirit to bring that up. Even if it's talking about an old bicycle, a red bicycle that was stolen 20 years ago, that brings up a memory. You would think, well, why would my mother bring that up? I don't know. I don't know the reason why spirit brings up certain experiences and not others. But to be open to what does spirit want to say to me, rather than I expect spirit to say X, Y, Z.
Very interesting. So we've got a bunch of questions from our listeners that we can, you know, I can definitely ask you to get some more insight into this whole thing, because, you know, I've been studying this mediumship thing for about 15 years, and it's as fascinating as the first day that I, you know, got into it. It's because of the unknown. There's just so much that we just don't know, especially about the brains. You know, everybody knows, well, I think it's pretty much considered a spiritual given that if you were, you know, your brain is kind of like a receptor. It's not really a repository of information. We don't know where the information is stored, but we know that if the receptors are damaged, then you can't get to that information. Just as if you were to smash your TV with a baseball bat, you didn't kill the weatherman. You just ruined the receptor so you won't get that signal anymore.
Exactly. No? Exactly. That's exactly how it is. And the receptor requires a currency of sound waves, light waves, electricity. It's requiring that receptor to be open in order to receive that information. That's the same electrical current that I was telling you about, the triangle between the medium, the sitter, and spirit. That's exactly, we're saying the same thing, but just with different analogies.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So somebody writes that, my question for medium Simone is the following. If you can read for other people and communicate messages to them from their loved ones on the other side, does that mean you can connect with your departed loved ones all the time?
Okay. So I get asked this question a lot. Mm-hmm. And how I can explain it is I don't have access to my loved ones 24/7. The same way that I don't have access to your loved ones 24/7. When the medium is ready to connect and the sitter is sitting there and spirit is ready for a reading, we all three make that connection and now information is coming through. Now, having said that, when you leave your reading, I leave that connection with you. Your loved one goes home with you. We're done with the session. When we are talking to our own loved ones, and this is why I'm glad that you brought it up in the introduction, because I do love to teach people how to connect with their own loved ones in a session, because I don't want you only to get information when a medium is sitting in front of you. I want you to be able to talk to your loved ones when you want to. And basically, I can connect with my loved ones anytime that I want, where I'm sitting down, I'm in a calm meditative state, and I'm just allowing my mind to be open to hearing my loved one, hearing their voice, or seeing them in my mind's eye, or maybe going on a walk with them, or seeing them perhaps play ball like they used to, like when Anthony used to be younger and playing football. All of those visuals, all of those sounds are actual communications from spirit. What trips people up is they think because it's coming through their brain, their receptor, they think that they're the ones that are making it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. You are a receptor. I'm a receptor. We all are receptors. Some receptors are a little bit more fine-tuned than others, but everyone has the ability to sit down and have a conversation with their loved ones on the other side, and perhaps see them make a funny gesture like they used to make when they were alive, or to say a funny saying that they used to repeat all the time. That's communication. And in almost every reading that I do, spirit will validate something that person was just thinking the other day, something random.
Mm-hmm.
That is to confirm that spirit can hear you and they heard you thinking about something or talking about something. Now we just have to be calm and quiet and connect with our loved ones and see them in our mind's eye and hear their voices to allow us to connect with them. It's exactly what a medium does. Everyone is a receptor. Everyone is. Yet I find that people don't trust what they feel.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, it's wishful thinking, or, you know,
yeah,
ego. It's the ego that gets in the way.
Okay, well then, and I want to bring this up to everyone because, you know, when we say about, oh, it's wishful thinking. Well, what about if you're suddenly, thinking about, suddenly you're just doing something and you're thinking about your Aunt Mary out of nowhere. She just pops into your head and you're like, that's weird. Why am I thinking of Aunt Mary? And then all of a sudden your sister calls you and she's like, oh my goodness, did you hear about Aunt Mary? You know, something happened to her. And you could say, I was just thinking about her. You were the receptor of information from the whole of the universe, which in that moment happened to be Aunt Mary. Right. You were the receptor of that information. And the universe or spirit or God or whatever it is that you want to call it, validated that by your sister calling you exactly at that moment to bring up the name of Aunt Mary. That's being a receptor. We're all receptors.
Wow. It's... I think you believe that the ability can be strengthened with training and all of that. Everybody,
it can be strengthened. It cannot. How do I put this? Not everyone is supposed to be a medium,
right?
Just like you could put me in front of a piano and make me train 10 hours a day. I am not supposed to be a pianist. That is not my role in this lifetime. Yeah. So will I get good? Yeah, I'll get good. But am I going to be a well-known pianist? Absolutely not. So, but everyone can strengthen it. Everyone has the ability to strengthen their intuition, perception, connection with spirit. Everyone has the ability to amplify their receptor. And to do that also requires a tremendous amount of trust and faith that the information that you are receiving is valid. See, that's where I think a lot of, especially my students, they stop themselves because they're thinking, oh, you know, what does this mean? Or I can't have a clear connection, or I'm not hearing things in sentences. Well, yeah, the way that spirit communicates is very different than the way that we see, taste, touch, hear, and feel. They communicate a little bit differently than that. So we have to be open to, okay, what am I feeling in this moment right now? Or what am I tasting in this moment right now? Or what am I seeing in my mind's eye? Well, in my mind's eye, I'm seeing my son standing there right in front of me with a nice sharp little haircut, which he used to have, and his baseball cap backwards, and in his jersey, his football jersey. That's the way that I see him. And I give him a hug every time, because I know I am not going to discount that seeing my son in my mind's eye means that it's not happening. It is happening.
Of course it's happening. Yeah.
He's there. It's just, we think, oh no, I have to physically see a hologram, or I have to physically see the formation of my loved one in order to believe that they're really here.
That's Hollywood. That's the Hollywood
influence. Yes, yes, yes.
Yep, yep. Are there practices that you do, Gina, to before a reading, like any rituals that you might incorporate?
So I am born Catholic, mm-hmm. although I don't practice Catholicism. I am Christian. Before I get ready to do my readings for the day, I take time to meditate and center myself. I ask that spirit come through with clarity and validation, because after all, we want to validate that that's truly our loved ones. And I ask for the highest good for all concerned. Now, that means whatever the sitter is supposed to hear, I trust that that's what they're going to hear. So I don't want to say, oh, you know, please come through with the lotto numbers for this particular sitter. Like, stuff like that is not for the highest good for all concerned. I want a sitter to walk away knowing that they actually connected with their loved one, that that really was them through evidential mediumship, evidence of life. And I want them to walk away knowing that they're never alone, because we are never alone. Just tonight, as an example, I completely forgot that we had this radio show tonight.
Really?
And I was talking to my son, Anthony, in my mind, because today, again, is the 6th anniversary of his burial. So I'd been talking to him all day long. And just around 7 o'clock, I heard in my head, the way that we all like get this weird feeling about something, I heard, you better reconfirm Sunday's appointments. Because I thought the radio show was supposed to be Sunday night. Well, I looked on my calendar and I see that there was an issue with the Sunday client that I have. And then something made me go look. Something said, go look at Bob's email about the radio show. Yeah. And when I did that, it said, here's the Zoom link for Thursday. And I'm going, Thursday? That's tonight.
Yep.
So here I was speaking to Anthony, like, please help me. Help me get through this day. Help me understand that you're always here. And just by sheer coincidence, which we know there are no coincidences, I went back into my calendar book and one thing led to another. And before I knew it, I'm like, oh my God, I've got a radio show in half an hour. So all of these coincidences that happen, people tend to think that's what they are. They're coincidences, but they're actually spirit's way of communicating with you.
Now, have you ever had such a good communication that like it shocked you that it was like,
there are many. I am a very, how do I say, my emotions are on my sleeve. If something is great, I open my mouth and oh my God, and I can't believe that. So, yeah. On many occasions, I would bring up something that to me felt minuscule, means nothing.
Yep.
And yet, when I said it to the individual, they went, oh my God, do you understand what my father just said? And I'm like, I have no idea. And then they'll present whatever it was that made sense. And I will sit there with my jaw dropped like, oh my God, I am always excited the way that spirit wants to validate their existence, that they haven't stopped, that the body is no longer here, but the soul continues on. So I'm always amazed. And I don't ask those questions anymore about, is this really valid? Because I used to do that. I used to ask, is this really making sense to the person, or do they really understand what I'm bringing through? Or sometimes I don't get a reaction from a client. I have no idea if this is making sense to the person. But now I know, having done this for almost 20 years, now I know I just trust spirit. And like I said, whatever the individual is supposed to learn or hear that day, may it be for the highest good of all concerned. But yes, to your question, there always is some sort of meditation practice to get me so that when I'm receiving as the reactor, as I'm receiving information, as the radio box is receiving the radio waves, I will be open to do that. So I know that my part of that triangle is ready to rock and roll.
It's very interesting. Have you ever picked up, in your history of doing readings, I mean, you're picking up messages from spirit, but has it ever occurred where you've picked up, and this is a writer's question, where you picked up information from someone's past life?
I usually pick up, because past lives is something that I have been extremely interested in my entire life. And I was certified as a past life regressionist. So for whatever reason, past lives for me are very, very important. Mm-hmm. What I pick up on is the sitter's past life and also the sitter's past life with that particular loved one that's crossed over. Because that past life will show me some of the karma and lessons that weren't quite learned in that previous life, but re-manifested itself in this life with that particular individual. And as a matter of fact, they'll even show me, I may have a woman whose husband has crossed over, but they'll show me in a past life, she and he were brother and sister. And there was some sort of communal lesson that was supposed to be learned in that lifetime that had not been learned. And it was reinvented in this lifetime in a little bit of a different format, but still it's the same lesson. But yes, in my readings, past lives, I almost think every reading that, I'm not going to say every, probably 90% of the time, there is some sort of past life lesson with the sitter and that particular loved one.
That's very, very interesting.
I love past life. I mean, I don't push it on my clients at all, because I'm very respectful of people's religions and upbringings.
Your beliefs.
I just bring it up and I touch it lightly. If they seem interested, then I'll go a little bit deeper and allow spirit to help me go a little bit deeper. But other than that, I don't like to push it on people, because I don't want to offend anyone.
No, I understand. Now, when you have sitters come to your readings, do you encourage them, or do some of them come with a list of questions to bring to their deceased loved ones, or how does that work?
So when the individual makes the appointment, we tell them you can come with questions if you like.
Okay.
When a sitter does, typically I'll say, you know, I'll give some time before the end of the session and I'll say, okay, you know, do you have any questions for spirit? And they'll take out their little piece of paper and they'll look at the list and they'll say, oh, well, you answered almost every one of this. And I'm thinking, I didn't answer it. Spirit answered it. Yeah. Because spirit already knew the questions that you were going to ask. So in the reading, spirit is giving the information. And now they're going through their list going, well, almost every question was asked. I go, that's great validation. That's even more validation that spirit is always with you. Spirit saw what you were writing. Spirit knew what you were thinking. And in the reading, all of those topics came up all on their own.
Right.
Without me knowing what the questions were. So it's a great further validation that spirit is with you. They hear you. They're around you. And I think that's what I love about evidential mediumship, is because it's so finite. It's so black and white that you can't dispute it. You can't dispute the loved one bringing up the pair of bunny pajamas that they purchased for their daughter on the last Christmas that they were alive.
Right.
I mean, you just can't. That's a very specific, yep, evidential piece of information to say, this really is that loved one. This really is my mom.
Right. Absolutely. I think one of the strongest evidences is when you give some information to the sitter that the sitter did not even know, but
yes. Oh, yeah. I love that. Now, when that happens, mm-hmm, it's usually not confirmed in the reading. Now, I allow, I don't know about other mediums, but I allow recording of the session, because there's so much information coming at the sitter. Sometimes they can't even process it all. So I just say, you record it and then go back home and things may make sense to you. Well, in the moment, the sitter may not understand,
yep,
what something is that's coming up. But then later on, when they hear it or they speak to another family member, the family member says, oh yeah, don't you remember? That's what mom did, or that's what she said. Yeah. And then they'll send an email or they'll send a text message to say, just wanted to validate when you brought up this item that my mother was showing you. I didn't know what it was. And then I asked my sister and my sister validated exactly what mom was talking about. But in the moment, the sitter had no idea. See, I love when that happens.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
that's even further validation that there are things that we don't remember, that suddenly spirit is saying, hey, remember this? So does a sitter want to hear what they're holding in their pocket? Or do they want to hear things that's like, oh my God, I haven't thought of that in 20 years, but mom brought it up. That to me is more of a gift.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the other question is, do you feel a shift in the world consciousness? I think the world is becoming a meaner place.
Absolutely. And the way that I look at it is just like when you're doing construction, it's got to look really bad before it looks great. And to me, this world of just things falling apart, to me, it's okay, we're getting close to the turnaround time of spirituality now becoming a lot more important in people's lives, because people are trying to find something that makes them still want to believe in something. Right now, I feel like this world is, everyone is turning to fear and everyone is turning inwards.
Yeah.
The best thing to connect with spirit, or the best thing to work on your own self-consciousness and raising your vibration, is to remain as positive as you possibly can. Energy is energy. That which you put out is exactly what you get back. I had a hard time learning that. I couldn't understand that for quite some time. And then it just became something very easy. If I'm putting out positivity, I'm just going to get more positivity back in life. But I do feel like there is a shift in consciousness that's just starting to begin. Mm-hmm. And that makes me happy when I see all of these light workers, these mediums, these intuitives, those that do Reiki healing, anything connected with spirituality, astrology. When I see these light workers out there, I keep thinking, we need more of these people. We need more people bringing light into the consciousness of everyday human beings so that we can flood this earth with more light.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's, yeah, I mean, they've taken, you know, it's become a very mean world, I find. And, you know, people are getting away with stuff and becoming, you know, being elected to very high offices. Anyhow.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, not to bring politics into this, but we all look at our lives,
crazy.
Our lives were really affected these past 2, 3, 4 years. I mean, so many things shifted and changed, and people's perceptions shifted and changed, and not all for the better.
No. It's, I think also what doesn't help, social media doesn't help. I mean,
oh, terrible.
In certain ways it's helped, because it's, you know, people communicate about this, you know, this whole spirituality. I think spirituality has exploded because of social media, but at the same time, there's a lot of bad things out on social media as well. Especially, I think people need instant gratification, put it that way.
Right.
There's no patience. I see it a lot in kids now with their gamings and their devices and stuff like that. And like, I need it now. I want it now, you know? So I think that's, yeah.
Right. And yet I find that the more that spirituality is coming out into the mainstream, I find that the polar opposite of that, the negativity, the hatred, the anger,
yeah,
also starts to come out. And because we're choosing to think and feel and look at life from a different perspective, those that can't understand that, or those that choose not to want to be in the light, tend to want to pull us down, like what we're thinking is very frou-frou, or there's no science behind it, or we're just making it up. And it makes it very difficult, especially for those light workers who maybe their families don't understand the work that they do. It just makes it a lot harder for us to continue doing what we know in our heart and soul, that the work that we need to do. Just makes it a little bit harder, because there are people who want to negate what we do and put it down. And I keep thinking, if we're not hurting anyone and we are bringing peace and love and guidance to someone, isn't that what we should all be doing on this earth? It's to some way bring a smile to someone's face. But yet, because they don't understand it and they fear it, it's almost like they want to squash what it is that we're doing. So there's a lot of that going on, a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. So How far back can you conjure spirit? How far back?
What do you mean? In what capacity?
I should rephrase that. In your experience as a medium, how far were you able to, like, you know, bring people back from? Like, you know, were you able to bring back anybody that died in the 1600s, for example?
No. No, and I'm gonna tell you why.
Okay.
Every medium is different because every gift is different.
Yep.
I can only bring back or connect to those where the sitter can validate something. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if I'm with a sitter and they can go back to their great grandmother, she'll come through and she'll validate certain things and the sitter will say yes. Because remember, it's evidential mediumship and I am validating things about that person. I personally cannot bring through, let's say, someone from the 1600s. I can talk to that person, but again, I'm an evidential mediumship. I'm an evidential medium. Mm-hmm. Who am I going to validate that they used to call their daughter Little Pumpkin? I can't validate that.
That's true. That's true.
So I only go back to, we go as far as someone can validate.
Okay. No, that's a great answer. Does anything from the afterlife scare you?
It used to. I used to be worried about being locked in a box and it being very dark and claustrophobic.
Oh, you mean like in the coffin on the ground?
Yep. I used to be very afraid of that. And every single spirit, regardless of how they passed through disease or accident or suicide, every soul that I have read for the past 20 years shows me closing their eyes and taking their last breath on this earth and immediately opening up their eyes and they're on the other side with loved ones. I have never had a soul show me being stuck in a box.
Right.
Or waking up in a box. Never. Never.
No, that was a big fear in the 1800s, you know, people being buried alive, because back then the medical science wasn't as advanced as it is now. And certain afflictions, you know, look like people were dead.
Now, I will tell you that I've done a lot of past life regressions for myself. And the fear that I have of waking up in a box is because I was buried alive with dirt and died that way in a past life.
Wow.
And it was because of the work that I did as a spiritualist at a time when it was frowned upon. So I was killed by being placed in a hole and having dirt on top of me, stamped on top of me, and losing breath and feeling that darkness around me. So that makes sense. When I go into a very dark room, I sometimes act like a five-year-old. Yeah. Because I'm like, quick, quick, turn on the light, turn on the light. I cannot handle any darkness. I can't handle it.
Wow, to this day.
Even wearing a blindfold, I can't handle it. I just can't. Because I go immediately into that that mental state of fear. And that's because I found out from a previous life.
You know what? I mean, I'm sure that a lot of people that have phobias, it has to do with, you know, the something that happened in their past life, be it their death or some really traumatic experience that occurred in the past life.
And also the reverse. If you have an
amazing experience,
a desire for something or an interest in something, it also means that you had an amazing experience in a prior life with that. So, like, let's say, for instance, when I hear nuns and priests singing, like chanting, I go into like this very deep meditative state. So I already know in some sort of past life, I must have either been a priest or a monk or a nun, because that chanting and that music just does something to me that just puts me in an altered state. So it's both negative and positive.
Interesting. Wow. Do you have any, Gina, any relatives that are also mystic or anything have those kind of tendencies?
So my sister is also gifted. She just sees spirit. So the way that you would see a hologram or a shadow, she sees that, but she cannot communicate.
Oh, wow.
So she has that gift. Both my daughter and my son that are here have the gift, but have not decided to expand on it or learn, or they're absolutely not interested. And when I met my husband, in the very beginning, I said, "You are gifted." Now, he is a very tall, big Italian construction guy who didn't know anything about spirituality before meeting me. And I told him, "You're gifted." And he's like, "You're out of your mind. You're crazy." And years later, we would be watching TV and he would say, "Did you just see that man walk by?" And I'm like, "No," because I can't see that way. I can't see it outside of my mind's eye. I only see it inside my mind's eye. So yeah. He sees spirit outside of him the way that my sister does. And I just think it's funny because, there are people in my family that are gifted this way. And yet I seem to be the only one that is using it. That's why I said to you, I could study a piano and never be a pianist. So there are a lot of people that have this gift, but for whatever reason, choose not to use it. Now, I found out years later when I went back to Italy, because that's where I was born and where we came from, I found out that my grandmother, my mother's mother, had this gift, but it was completely frowned upon in the 1920s, 1910, in a foreign country. And back then it was all about survival and farming and just putting food on the table. No one was really thinking about connecting with love on the other
hierarchy of needs. I mean,
exactly. But so I did find out, because I tend to see that this travels sort of very much like, you know, blue eyes are recessive and they sometimes follow in family genes. This also follows in the family line. So I'm just curious to see with my grandchildren if any of them will have this gift, and if they'll do anything with it.
Interesting. So, tell us about, like, you see it in your mind's eye. Are you clairaudient, clairsentient, clairvisual?
So clairaudient, I hear. Mm-hmm. Clairsentient, I feel. Mm-hmm. Clairvoyant, I see.
Okay.
And claircognizant, the hardest one to deal with. Claircognizant is just knowing.
Just knowing.
There isn't anything you see or feel, or you just know it. You don't know why you know it. It just pops in your head and it's like it's there. That's the hardest one for people to believe in, because it's not coming from anywhere. It's not like you're feeling a feeling, or you're not seeing something in your mind's eye like a red apple. It's just this, I just know it. I don't know how I know it, but I know it. That's the hardest one for people to handle.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And those are probably the ones that turn out to be, you were right, you know, 2 weeks later.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And there's a lot of the claircognizance that comes through in the readings where I say, this is what your mother is showing me. And the person says, no, that doesn't make any sense. And then they go back and ask their sister and the sister confirms and validates it. So a lot of the claircognizant is sometimes, a lot of times it's things that the sitter can't validate in that moment.
Gotcha. Now, do you, I ask a lot of the, my guests this question. Do you ever get communications that are uncomfortable, that would be uncomfortable for the sitter. So you would choose maybe not to reveal it or reveal it in a different way.
Yes. So many times there is a loved one that's coming through primarily with some sort of regret or remorse mm-hmm. for some way that they behaved in this life, especially towards the sitter.
Okay.
And a lot of times the sitter's like, I don't want to talk. I don't want to talk to him. And I just say, okay, we don't have to talk, but I do need to validate the spirit's message that they want to deliver. And that message then is delivered with sensitivity and emotion and love. So the apology comes through in this very loving manner that typically the sitter ends up crying because they didn't want to hear from that person at all. They were absolutely no. And then that person, I have to honor the message. I share the message, but it's always said with such love and respect and reverence. Mm. And the person then accepts it as, wow, I didn't know that that loved one had that kind of sensitivity within them. Well, they do now, because now they are the perfect version. Their soul is the perfect version of who they should have been in this lifetime. But because of free will, which we're all given, they chose to make different decisions for their lives and for the people around them. But yes, there are sometimes that it's uncomfortable. I can feel the discomfort because clairsentience, I can feel, not only am I feeling spirit, but I can feel the sitter's energy. I can feel the discomfort, but I do have to honor what spirit needs to say.
Of course, absolutely. No, it's about, it's all about love and learning. And something you said just a second ago about when spirits are on the other side, you said that they're a perfect version of themselves.
Yes.
That's something new. I've heard different things, you know, depending on the vibrational state, they might go to a higher plane or a lower plane. So I don't exactly see.
Okay. So if someone is in a lower plane, mm-hmm. they obviously have not learned their lessons on this earth that they should have, and they entered heaven or the universe or the cosmos or whatever you want to call it at a different level. But what they always show me, because every medium is different, they will show me how they were in this lifetime, the hardened part. Mm-hmm. But they will also show me the part of their soul that still is good, because every part of our souls are good. So they'll show me how they behaved and how they are and the level that they're at of consciousness, but they'll also show me the best part of them. Similar to how someone, a child may do something to you and you're just like, I know you're better than that. You're seeing the part of that child that's better than what their action was. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, it sure does.
So to me, the soul is showing me both sides.
So on the other side, no matter what level, I can't see there being any violence on the other side. I mean, what's the point, right?
Right.
There's nothing like that. Do you ever get indications or visions of what the other side is like in terms of, you know?
Yeah. Everyone's heaven, because I'm going to call it heaven. It's easier for people to understand. Right. Everyone's heaven is different than everyone else's.
Isn't that
everyone perceives heaven differently. So very similar. If you go to a restaurant and I go to the same restaurant, we're going to have the same experience. It's the same restaurant. It's the same tables. It's the same waiter, same food. Okay. That's the same. Yeah. In heaven, it's a version of what is most authentic to us. So every heaven is different and they all combine together. And that's what makes people not understand, because they're like, how can there be a different heaven for every person? Then where is everyone? Why aren't they all together? They are all together, But how do you explain that there are different heavens or different vibrations and energetic vibrations of heaven that all commingle? We don't understand that on Earth because we don't have that. We can't access that from our brain.
Right.
So we can't understand it.
For us, everything is observed. And yes. Once observed, the potential has collapsed from a waveform into an actual, physical material. And so we're constrained by that. Whereas in spirit.
Exactly. Whereas on the other side, we're not constrained by anything.
Yeah.
So a blade of grass may look green to you and it may look purple to me. Because in my world, grass is purple. But you can't, that's where people get people who are trying to make sense of what the medium is connecting with or the energy that we are plugging into, when they're trying to make sense of it, they always say, but that doesn't make sense. Correct. It's not going to make sense with your three-dimensional brain. It's not going to make sense.
No, it doesn't. And that's why I fear that science as we see it it's always going to be materialistic, like the materialistic science. And then, unless, quantum physics makes some more discoveries, to bring us closer,
But aren't we all like that? We all say, prove it to me. Prove it. Yeah. We love, as humans, we love saying that. Prove it. Show me. And then I'll believe it.
Believe? Yeah. Well, belief plus proof equals knowledge.
Yes, I love that. I absolutely love that. Belief
plus
proof equals knowledge.
Yeah, that's equals knowledge, exactly. So you can believe something, and Catholics are taught to believe in the Bible, and they study it, and churches, and of course, and it's a big, big, big thing for that we've been doing for 2,000 years, right? And but I find knowledge is stronger than belief. I find because it's got, you need the proof, you got the proof in there. It's like cement. You add rebar to cement and you have concrete, right?
Right.
Which is stronger, a lot stronger.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So that I'm not going to take credit for that saying. I read
you,
it.
You should take credit for that because that was pretty extraordinary. So you are also in a place of questioning what it is that you believe?
Oh, very much so.
Okay. Very much
so because of, I lost a son too, right?
Yes.
5 years old. And my worldview shifted after that. I became a lot more spiritual. And, I'm still searching. I'm still looking, There might be that one clue out there that just completely resonates with me. And I think, I found different facets of there's many different ways to approach medium, like the afterlife, right? You can do everything from holotropic breath work to tarot cards, to tea leaves, to mediumship, there's so many different ways to approach it, So I'm still on a journey to find out what is best for Roman, like in terms of resonating with me. Mediumship definitely fascinates me and everything like that, but there's other aspects of it too. There's EVP, electronic voice phenomena, and there's OBEs, out of body experiences, and you can practice and you can actually have those, and those would be really cool to achieve because that would be firsthand proof that spirit resides outside the body.
There's your proof, right? Everyone's looking for the proof. My question to you is, I'm just curious, did you question more and want to know more and get more knowledge after your son's passing?
Exactly right. That's when I got into it.
So he was a catalyst to help your soul grow in this lifetime.
Wow. That is, I would take it back in a heartbeat to not have him back.
A thousand percent. But when we look at the big picture, as you will when you cross over, you will see this beautiful little soul came into my life to show love and then left early so that I could continue my mission of learning and receiving additional knowledge.
Interesting.
He's a teacher. Your son was a teacher.
Wow. That is incredible. Thank you for sharing that. So hey,
I hope that other I hope that other people understand that each one of their loved ones comes to them in their life as a teacher. We all teach one another.
We're all part of soul groups to teach each other and to advance. And I think it's part of God's consciousness that's split into like 8 billion different consciousnesses, at least in this world. In this world, who knows
exactly.
To become smarter or more informed, you know, why not? To become more powerful, why not?
To grow, yeah. To help your soul grow into a higher consciousness, because that's what the souls are trying to do on the other side. They're also trying to grow into a higher consciousness, a higher level.
I am so sorry that we are running out of time, but before we leave, I want to plug you and your show a little bit, and your practice. If you could just, you know, let us know about your, you know, how you take clients and what kind of.
Sure. So I will tell you that I do have a 2-year wait list, but if you're from Forever Family Foundation, I move you right up to the list and I get you right in, because I love this organization so much and it means so much to me. But you can definitely look up my contact information at www.GinaSimoneMedium.com.
Great. Well, listen, Gina, it's been an incredible past 1 hour that, you know, a lot of information was shared, and we really appreciate it.
And thank you so much for having me. I always love speaking to you. Our annual show together.
Our annual show, yes, has come to a conclusion. So again, thank you so much, Gina. And thank you to all our listeners. And we will see you all in a month. Thank you very much.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Hey, Happy New Year. Oh, and my hearts go out to those poor people in LA.
Oh, my God. Yeah, terrible.
It's really, really bad what's happening there. Okay. Good night, everybody.
Good night.